great entrepreneurs look around the curve. Clio's looking so far around the curve that when the competition looks for them, they can't see them.
This is Bob Ambrogi, and we are here at the Clio Cloud Conference in San Diego, where we're interviewing a number of the attendees who are here, some of the exhibitors, some of the people participating in the conference. And right now, I am here with Mark Britton. Mark, how are you today?
I am excellent. How are you, Bob?
I'm very well. Mark, for those listeners who don't know, was the founder and CEO of Avvo until shortly after Avvo was sold last year.
That's right, 2018.
2018.
Time flies.
I have the honor, I think, of having had you on my former podcast, Lawyer to Lawyer, just weeks after you launched Avvo, way back in the
I think that was the first interview. Sorry. After I launched Avvo, right? Absolutely. I mean, that becomes ancient history. It's almost, and I'd love to go back and listen to that.
Yeah,
podcast.
That would be interesting to do.
You were doing it with J. Craig Williams, you guys kind of dominated. If not totally dominated the legal podcast.
That's because nobody space. Knew what a podcast was then. Nobody had.
But I do remember we felt that we needed to get on your show and tell our story because, I mean, you had so many lawyers and I would argue regulators as well that were listening to you.
Yep. And we did also have you on our show, on this new show on Law Next. Last year, episode 11, just 11 shows into after we started this one. But as I was telling you earlier today, I think you continue to be our most highly trafficked show of all our shows. So a lot of interest in you and in Avvo, as we well know.
Well, I'm honored.
So we are here now, or you are here now, in part because you have joined the board of Clio.
I have, yeah. It's really fun. You know, I've known the Clio folks for so long.
Yeah.
And, you know, the ethos of the two companies are so similar. I think that's why Jack and I got along so early.
Yeah.
Jack reached out. I think I must have met Jack for the first time at one of the legal conferences because we were both on the road constantly speaking at conferences.
Yep.
He was more talking about the infrastructure and IT side of things.
Yeah.
I was talking more about the marketing and reputational sides of things. But both there and then Jack started coming to the Avvo conferences. We had him speak at one of the, whether it was called Avvocating or Lawyernomics, we had him come to an early one of those. In fact, I think you, Bob, were our first keynote speaker.
I was your first keynote speaker, the one in Seattle. It's
for
the first one.
First one. So I think that was probably 2008.
Yeah.
Anyway, very early in Clio's life, Jack came and spoke. And I just always really liked how he's believed that a big part of his responsibility to the profession is educating the profession.
Yeah.
And we felt the exact same way. And I think we have a shared desire that through technology and through education of that technology, we can push first the legal profession, but secondarily society forward. And so many conversations we've had is, how do we do that? How do we work together? How do we have our companies work together to do that? So it was a very small step. And I mean, there's a lot that went on in between, but it was a very small step for me to say, yeah, I'll join the board because I knew Jack and the company so well that all I could be was excited about being involved with them.
Yeah, I mean, where do you see the similarities between what you were trying to do at Avvo and what Clio is trying to do now?
Well, I mean, Clio's a platform, right? Clio's an operating system. I think that there is a distinction between a platform and an operating system in that if we look at the kind of genus being a platform with a species being an operating system where you can build a bunch of applications on top of that operating system. But come on, it all goes back to platform, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's the way we talk about it in the most common way.
Yeah.
But Avvo was its own platform,
yeah.
right? Like,
yeah.
so
whether you were really focused on consumers. You weren't focused on, to start anyway.
Yeah, I mean, one of my big investment theses at this point is that if you're on the consumer side of the spectrum, you're only going to succeed if you, in bringing in those consumers, give them a platform to continue to interact with you. And a great example of this would be like Amazon Prime, right? Like Amazon's done such a great job of giving this. It's not only about the sale; it's about the entire platform that keeps bringing you in to interact with Amazon. So then you take companies like Slack, where they're on the other end of the spectrum in that they're essentially B2B productivity software. You can even argue, so they're a SaaS-based productivity tool for companies, but they might also argue that they're an operating system.
Right.
And where you can build a bunch of, you can integrate a bunch of stuff into the Slack platform. But in order, I mean, Slack succeeded because it built a bunch of functionality that was very consumer-like. I mean, you use Slack and you feel like you're using a consumer product. You feel like you're using a B2B internal office product.
Right.
And so that platform connection in the middle to whether you're on the acquisition marketing side or the productivity business side, they come together in that it is a piece of software that continues the conversation with your target audience.
Yeah.
And so we were, in many ways, we built the same thing. We built it for the lawyers to continue to acquire their customers, and they built it for the lawyers to continue to be productive in their day-to-day. And continuing to merge those ideas, that's where I think I can be helpful to the company. And anyway, it's where the commonality that you were asking about resides.
Yeah. At the same time that it was announced that you're becoming a board member, Clio had the big announcement that day, and not that you weren't you were the second biggest announcement, was that they had gotten $250 million
staggering amount of money.
You're one of the investors, as I understand it, you've invested in the company. I assume not all $250 million.
I did $249. I let the other guys in for the rest.
But what do you see as the potential for Clio as a company? What's the interest to you as an investor about where this company is going?
Yeah, so I mean, that's such a broad question, but I'll try to make it super simple in that when you think about those companies that are truly trying to drive innovation and that they already, so Clio from the beginning has said, let us build super simple products, but that change the paradigm, that change the equation for how lawyers are building their practices and ultimately serving their customers. Clio has been so loyal to that, to disrupting that, to building that out, that they have built a leadership position that as you look at all the other companies that are trying to do similar things in legal, they are miles and miles behind.
Yeah.
Then, so that's kind of the history. Then as we look towards the future, Clio continues to have this innovative mindset to where they say, how law is being practiced is shifting. The whole dynamic around maybe even a little bit of what we were talking about earlier about how we as lawyers can seize the market opportunity that sits there, how we can increase the utilization for lawyers, how consumers are using lawyers and law firms, by giving the lawyers super simple but innovative tools to enhance, to continue the conversation, to build their practices. I just think Clio is so far out if you think of great entrepreneurs look around the curve, Clio's looking so far around the curve that when the competition looks for them, they can't see them. Yeah. And so I just get so excited. So the historical focus has built an amazing market position. But then as I look into their product pipeline, I get so excited about what they're working on and will continue to work on that I was like, yeah, I want to be an investor.
Yeah. I wonder, as an investor, what your perspective is on kind of the state of the market more broadly. In 2017, the total investment in legal tech was like roughly $250 million total.
Yeah.
Last year was $1 billion. This year, we've already passed $1.4 billion, I think, investment in legal tech.
Yeah.
Are we in a bubble? Where do you think this market is going and what's going to happen with it?
So what... are we in a bubble? There's the velocity of investments, and then there is the valuation around those investments. We can argue that the valuations are too high or too low, and that's usually where the term bubble is going. I'd rather focus on the number of investments, the velocity of those, the interest in the legal industry that you're starting to see. And I don't think that is something that is ever going to go away. So what I'm seeing more broadly in the investment world, going back to this idea of platform being so valuable, to the extent that you can create a system that a bunch of professionals or consumers, like just people, are using and using it repeatedly, those are the companies that all of the different venture firms, all the different private equity, they're all flocking to, because it is so hard to build those and build the loyalty and build the moat around those. And I'm telling you, in fintech, in medical, in accounting, in all these different white-collar verticals, just massive flocking to those types of investments, to those platforms. And you even see it, like, there's SaaS, but then there's platform as a system, there's infrastructure as a system. One place it's getting funded just massively is productivity tools, but platform-based productivity tools that are up in the cloud, so SaaS-like platforms that allow developers, that allow the teams that are often building all of these products, but allow them to visualize and better operate, better build the products that they're building. So it's not just in lawyers assembling or running the law firms that they're running, or the hospitals running the services that they're delivering. You're actually seeing it go all the way deep into highly, highly technical platforms that developers, et cetera, are using to be more efficient. So platform is where you're seeing investments going. And really, in legal, if you look at every big investment, it tends to be a platform.
Yeah. Real quick, I know you have to go, but I just want to ask, I don't know how much you've kind of paid attention to what's going on in the current legal regulatory environment, but there's some really interesting initiatives going on with Utah developing this regulatory sandbox to allow alternative California, legal service providers, Arizona, California. Obviously, regulatory struggles were a constant, in a sense, for AVO over the years.
Absolutely.
It was something you faced probably every day of your career there. I wonder if you feel that you helped pave the way for more liberal thinking about this stuff, or if you feel in any way that you helped bring about the willingness we're now seeing to reconsider how law is regulated.
I hope so. I it's hard to say. I think any change, especially in legal, comes from a lot of people running at the brick wall. So I think we were at least one of those people running. I think Cleo would also be someone, maybe they didn't run quite as we were willing to take on that brick wall with maybe the tank, and we're not quite as aggressive. But I don't know. I think that I talked about this in my talk yesterday, in that I just didn't feel that we had any choice, because the way that the regulatory construct was in place, or really the mentality of the regulators, and really the how regulators were resourced, they had no ability to keep up with what we were doing.
Yeah.
And so when you looked at if you looked at how badly the legal consumer was suffering,
yeah,
I just felt like it was required of us to go to challenge the status quo the way that we did. Did that leave a dent? Yeah, I like to think that it did. However, with all of the movements that we've seen over the last 12 to 18 months, I will say that it's still just talk. And it's directionally positive talk, I'll give you that. But we need action.
Yeah.
And if I think about what I wanted for legal, both the lawyers and the consumer, 13 years ago when I conceptualized Avvo, and how much has changed since then, it is so small compared to the opportunity. And well, let's start with the pain for both the lawyers and the consumers, and as a consequence, the opportunity that sits there to put them both together. We haven't moved in any meaningful way. We just little baby steps. And so I applaud anyone that is talking about this. I don't want to take away, especially Utah. I think they're really really interesting conversations. But until we see real action that creates a full function change across some of these elements, we don't need any more words. The lawyers and the consumers don't need any more words. They need action.
Yep. Mark Britton, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for taking the time.
I have fun every time we do this, both on and off the record.
Okay. Good to see you.
Yeah, Bob. Thank you so much.